come before you right here and now, Father, as humble servants, Father, people that are here to learn and to grow, that want to understand more about you and our walk with you. Father, we want to know not just who you are and who we are, but Father, how to share you with others. And Father, I pray that you'll encourage us through this word, encourage us to let go of things that try to hold us back and just press toward that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we love you and we're praising you in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Amen. So if you were a middle-aged parent, okay, and you're raising a daughter, okay, and she gets to be about 17, 18 years old, okay, and she's a cute girl, right? So the guys are attracted, and all of a sudden this guy is attracted and starts kind of courting her, and he's one of those guys that, I want you guys to use your imagination, maybe you can picture a guy like this, but he wears his pants, you know, they're kind of torn up and whatever with the belt, and they're hanging about down here somewhere. Okay, and about two-thirds of his boxers are showing, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. You've seen it once or twice. Okay, and then to try to kind of offset that, he's wearing some kind of a sports jersey, I suppose, and the black flat-billed hat that's kind of cocked off to one side, and maybe some gold chains. Okay, start putting this together and make the scenario, okay? And this is the guy that's courting, okay? Well, personality-wise, lacking a little bit there. He's still doing things like, you know, telling off-color jokes. You know, maybe on the first date he started calling her mom, you know. Kind of stepped over that line. Hey, mom, what's up? You know, doing goofy things, childish things, passing gas at the dinner table, thinking it's funny. You know, I mean, this is just hasn't quite grown up yet. Living and acting kind of like he's about half his age, you know, that he might be 18, but he's acting more like a 9-year-old kind of thing. And so in that situation, you would probably tell your daughter, okay, be on the lookout for signs of maturity, okay? Be on the lookout for this guy starting to grow up. Because if you don't see that, okay, you might need to move on. But the idea would be that he's still young enough, he's still just entering into adulthood, so to speak, that he still has some time. You know, if he's a little immature, he still has time to kind of get with reality, start to grow up, realize, you know, how to interact with adults and people and get a job and, you know, do those kind of things, right? So as time goes on, we would figure he has time to still grow up. Okay, now let's move ahead about 40 years. Let's say your daughter is 50 and somehow still single, okay? And all of a sudden this guy comes into her life very similar to this other guy. In fact, acts just like him, wears the cocked off baseball cap and the goofy stuff and acts less than half his age, okay, at that age. Okay, he's 50 years old and still doing this stuff and being obnoxious and all these things. At that point, okay, you're probably going to tell your daughter, I think it's just time to move on. This guy's had like 40 years to grow up, and he hasn't grown up yet. Okay, and so he's kind of reached that level that he needs to act like an adult now because he is an adult and not a kid anymore, right? I mean, wouldn't you think, you know what, you can tell, and you guys think about people in your life that are kind of immature, people that haven't really grown up all the way. Okay, and you're thinking, man, they need to just grow up. Okay, well, most people would see a guy like that is 50 years old and he's still acting like a little kid, sometimes a 2-year-old, would really describe it best. And they may say, you know, under their breath, they would say something like, oh man, that guy just needs to grow up. He is so immature. Okay, people might be doing that to this guy his whole life. Okay, that nobody has ever really come to him in person, face to face, and said, man, that's pretty immature, man. Maybe you ought to really think about growing up. Okay, most people have just kind of allowed him to go on being that way. But I think it's also quite possible that if someone that was a good friend of his, that was kind and caring, somebody that he trusted, somebody that he believed had his best interest in mind, would actually say something like that to his face and say, hey man, what about trying this? Or how about if, you know, we kind of grow up and do these things? And they say it in a manner that's not critical, it's not degrading, but rather they're speaking the truth in love, that he may actually begin to get the point, may actually begin to accept some of that advice and maybe make a change or two towards maturity. Okay? Well, this is my hope in writing what you're about to hear. Okay? I'm not intending to condemn anybody. I'm not going to intentionally try to offend anybody. But I feel a compulsion inside from the Lord to speak some truth in love to the body of Christ regarding the lack of maturity among Christians. Okay? So that we can grow as believers, that we can grow up into Christ. And really, in the end result, it's about glorifying God. But I want our lives to stand out, right? I want to be a Christian. I want to live it out. I am so enjoying my Christian walk in the last, I don't know how many years, it's been a long time. I love the Lord and I love to live out Christian life. I love to be a Christian, okay? And sometimes you get into those awkward moments where you're around people that aren't Christians and, you know, it feels kind of awkward. And for me, I'm a fish out of water, but I still enjoy that to a certain extent because I know that I'm having an influence. I don't have to say anything. As long as I'm not jumping in and participating, I am making a difference. I am making an impression on somebody. Okay? There are a substantially large number of believers, and I'm not saying it's you guys, but I just know in the body of Christ, that are simply going through the motions of Christianity. Okay? They're not really maturing as a believer and becoming more like their Savior. Okay? And these are things that, you know what, we can, I don't want to jump ahead, but we can study, we can pray, we can get into all kinds of, you know, spiritual stuff, we can be in church all the time, but if we're still not acting like Jesus, when it really counts, when the guy cuts you off in traffic, or, you know, somebody shorts you on your bill, or, you know, charges you too much, in those moments, that's when we want to know, are we going to act like Jesus, or are we just spiritual, okay? Because sometimes we get into that where we're going through the motions, we're trying to do all this stuff, but yet we're not, when it really comes down to it, we're missing out. We're not doing it quite right. Well, as we go on in the next few weeks, you're undoubtedly going to see some things in your life, okay, regarding your attitudes, your emotions, your actions, that just like that 50-year-old guy that still dresses and acts like a kid, you may, for the first time, actually see some things in your life that are immature as a believer. Okay, some areas in your life where you realize you could grow up. They are undesirable. Okay, and early on in a Christian's life, I think it's easier to see some of these things. Like I said, I used to lay in bed at night and just cry, God, take this stuff from me. I didn't want it because I could see it in relationship to my other church people. I didn't fit in, man. I was a drug out, strung out biker dude. Right, sitting in a church, and it just, and I saw other people were walking out this faith, and they lived in it, and I knew I wasn't there, and so I knew that I wanted those things, and so that's where some of that stuff, it was easier to see the undesirables. But now, once people get into their Christian routine, okay, going through the motions, sometimes it takes a pretty big flare-up of something negative in your life for you to go like, oh, hate when I, you know, kick the dog or yell at the kids or whatever it was, you know what I mean? And so there's those moments. Okay, as a Christian believer, as a follower of God, we are called to a high calling. Okay? We have received a gift from God that's known as salvation. Okay? And we are now obligated with the responsibility to not only get to know who we are in Christ and to get to know who God is and what he's doing, but also to be able to live our life tasked with a goal of continually glorifying God with our life. Okay, we should continually sense that compulsion or that, I use that word a lot, but that task, I'll call it. If we have anything to do, it is to bring glory to the name of Jesus. It is to glorify God with our life. Okay, as Peter wrote in his first epistle, he was careful to include adequate exhortation to, and I'll call it, know what you know. And be prepared to share what you know and what you have learned about God with others. Okay, let's look it up. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1 Peter 3:15. He says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, and do it with meekness and fear," or reverence. In order to be able to share the hope that's in you, that hope of eternal life and salvation through Christ with others, we're going to be most effective when we are growing and maturing and producing fruit through our lives. Okay, that's just a given. Okay, you can take that to the bank and stand on it. I don't think that's a real expression, but you know what I mean? That's something that you can believe in. If you're growing and you're maturing and you're producing fruit, okay, you will be more effective in sharing the hope that is in you. Because that fruit is attractive. Okay, and it draws others to Christ in us. That fruit that is coming through our life. It provides a substance and a spiritual nourishment for others that are around us to partake of. Okay? And when we live in a world that is seeking, okay, that's searching, that is trying to figure out what the reason for being is, unless Christians are presenting Christ as an option, they're always going to pick something else. If you have a basket of fruit on the table and it's full of apples and oranges, they are never going to choose the pear, right? Because it doesn't have a pear in it. So you have to present that fruit has to be readily available in order for them to actually take part of Christ. Okay? And that's where the fruit coming through your life comes into play, that you're producing Christ-likeness and those things coming out. Think about it like this. If someone is seeking spiritual food, they are not going to run to the dead elm tree. Okay? They can see from a distance that that tree is gray and black and there's no fruit on it, no leaves, no nothing. They can see from a distance that it is not going to benefit them in any way if they're seeking spiritual nourishment. But they are drawn to the living and growing apple tree. That one that has apples hanging on it at all different levels. I went over to my neighbor's house the other day. He has a crab apple tree, and he said, "Hey, want any crab apples? They're ready. Look, they're ready right now." And you look up, and the whole thing, and they're all beautiful red, and they're all over this tree. It just looked like a picture almost. Okay. Well, that fruit is hanging at all different levels, and it's ripe and ready to eat. So anybody that comes along, whether you're this high in your spiritual walk or you're this high in your spiritual walk, there was something available for you to take. Right? It was right there. That's what having that fruit ready for people to partake of is about. But what a lot of Christians don't realize, or what sometimes we try to ignore, is the fact that for an apple tree to get to that point where they're producing an abundance of healthy fruit, they've had to go through some pruning. Okay? They had some of the dead branches and some of the unproductive branches, the ones that were drawing nourishment out of the ground and taking the nutrients, but they weren't producing anything. They have been cut off, and the tree has been groomed to the point that it will produce that fruit that we're looking for. So as Christians, you need to get the junk out of your life. Okay? That stuff that's taking up your time, your energy, your nourishment, your spiritual nourishment, but not producing any fruit. Okay, that stuff needs to get out of your life. Okay? And like I've said before, I don't preach a lot on sin and you need to quit doing this, quit doing that. It's not my style. That's not what the Bible says. I don't believe in certain ways. The idea is that we want to produce healthy fruit. And so I'm going to teach you how to do that. Okay? You're going to be fertilized. You're going to be fed the true spiritual nourishment that ensures that you have everything you need to be able to produce that good stuff. And as I'm speaking things, some of those dead branches, you're going to be like, I don't really need that anymore. And off it goes. Okay? And you begin to allow those things. The Holy Spirit will work it and begin to do those things in your life. Okay? And you have to know when it's time to let go of your fruit and plant those seeds in someone else's life. Okay? Because you can have all the fruit that you want, But if you're not dropping those apples, it won't produce more apple trees, right? And so the idea is you want to be able to share that fruit so it will bless someone else. Okay, a couple years ago, I'll stay along with the apple tree story, or the theme. But a couple years ago, I bought some apple trees. Okay, Baumgartner's had a sale going on. It was the end of the season, and they were about, you know, this high. Okay, and I thought, man, I've always wanted apple trees. I know Margie would like it, and Leona. So I bought three of them. And I took them home, and I planted them. I did it everything according to the way the guy told me. I read bags. I did all my stuff. I dug this nice big old hole, and I mixed the fertilizer and the manure in there, and actually put good topsoil in there because our dirt's kind of dry and, you know, whatever out there. So I mixed in topsoil and got it all right. And I even went as far as protecting them. I mean, I was doing this by faith, right? They're already this tall. They're going to grow, right? And so I did it by faith, and I put the fence around it. I did a double height woven wire thing. I put around it with the stakes, and I even tied that tree off on one side so the wind wouldn't lean it over, you know, like they do in Wyoming. I did it all so that it would grow just right. I watered them. I did all the stuff. But those trees did not grow 1 inch. Not one. They never even started to grow after I did that to them. The problem was that the roots of those trees were root bound in the containers that they were in when I got them. Okay? So when I pulled them out of the container to plant it, the roots were round up. The pots were about this big and about this big. And when I pulled that tree out, the roots were the exact same shape as that box. They had just wound themselves up tight inside of that box. And the guy told me when I bought it, they were probably like that. And I thought, oh, I'll pull them apart. I'll stretch them out. I'll get them so that they'll be able to reach out for the nourishment. And I did that, still thinking that I'm going to pull them apart. But they were so bound together that you're breaking them, you're pulling them apart, they're cracking apart, that it wasn't working very good. So by faith, I believe they're going to reach out. Okay? And once I get them in there, look at all this nourishment, all the stuff I'm getting them, they're going to reach out for that and begin to absorb that nutrients and moisture from the stuff that is around them. Okay, well, they were pretty well stuck in what they had learned was all the space they had. Okay, start applying this to your life a little bit. I was hopeful that they would spread out, that they would reach out for the moisture and that nourishment they would need, but they never did. It was like they did not know what they were supposed to do. Okay, they just knew this was all they knew. Okay, their leaves dried up, okay, like you would imagine. But even as fall and winter set in, they did not lose those leaves. Okay, the leaves dried up. They turned that kind of a greenish brown, and they died just like they do. Okay, and they dried up, and they did not lose those leaves in October, November, December, January, February. You could still look out the window, and here's these little scrawny sticks with these little dead leaves on them. And it wasn't until the spring winds came, okay, a Wyoming spring wind, you guys know what I'm talking about, that came along in probably March or so, that those leaves finally blew off and left just the sticks there. Okay, they didn't seem to know what they were supposed to do. And those trees, you know, I mean, normally they would lose the leaves right away. That's why I tell that. It was so odd to me that they hung on to those leaves, but then they just falled off and the trees never did grow. They never did what God made them to do. They never did grow. They never did mature. They became sticks, worthless sticks, and eventually were thrown away or replaced. Okay, they never did what they were supposed to do. Okay, those trees reminded me that part of maturing is knowing what to do and when to do it. Okay? If you have put the Almighty God in a nicely shaped box, God may be wanting to take you out of that box to plant you in a place where you can flourish, but if you will not spread out your roots, you will not receive the nourishment that's being offered to you, you're simply not going to grow. Okay, so my goal through this little sermon series is to present you with a detailed description of some of the different levels of maturity, okay, and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you where you currently are in your walk, He's going to speak to you. I believe that. He's going to show you some things about you. And I'm praying that he will show you some areas that when they're pruned, they will allow you to move on to the next level. They will allow you to grow and to flourish. Okay? The Holy Spirit is going to help you to see where you're going next. He's going to show you some things through the next couple weeks that are like, oh, I didn't realize, you know, oh, yeah, now I can see where we're going. And he's going to give you some insight, some encouragement on how to get there. Okay? Now, I'm assuming that since you all are here today, that you have a desire inside to grow spiritually. Okay? Those who are simply content with the pot that they're planted in are still at home. Okay? So you guys are on the right track. It means that you've got at least a desire inside to want to know more about God, to further and foster your relationship with him. I thought of this the other day. I don't want to take credit. I think my wife's the one that said it. But if you want to be a doctor, you need to study how to be a doctor. If you want to be a plumber, you learn how to be a plumber. You go to school or you mentor under somebody. Christians, it's the same thing. If you want to grow up spiritually, you need to get in a place where you're going to get taught and you're going to be able to watch others do it. Okay, and that's where we're at right now. So I believe you all are on that right track. Okay, so we may have the desire to grow, but sometimes Christians lose sight of the need to grow. Okay, because there's a difference between desiring something and actually seeing the need for something. Now, you might desire to get up in the morning, go to work, earn your paycheck. You might desire to do that. But you know as well as I do, if you don't actually see the need for getting up and going to work and earning a paycheck, you simply won't do it. You can want to do it all day long, but it's not going to actually kick in until you actually do it. Okay? You can desire to get up and go to work, but you know that you actually need to do those things if you really want to earn a paycheck, right? How many know that? I mean, it doesn't just happen. I'd like to just sit at home and get those checks, but it doesn't happen. You have to go and earn that. Okay? If you recall the apple tree example, the apple trees didn't just desire to grow or lack a desire to grow. They knew God put it in them. They knew what they were supposed to do, but they didn't actually need to grow. They could just sit there and die in that pot. They could sit there and die in the ground. They didn't need to grow. Okay? Isaiah 1:19 is a scripture along that line. It says plainly, if ye be willing and obedient, you shall see and eat the good of the land. Okay? If ye be willing and obedient. Okay? Because God knows that your heart is willing. God knows that you want and desire to grow. But you have to see the need for it, the need for the obedient part of it, okay? And as we go through the next few weeks, you're going to learn some things about yourself. And as much as possible, I'm going to try to encourage you to actually do something with what you learn about yourself, okay? Not just to get down on yourself and leave you there. That's not where I want to leave you. So let's start by reminding ourselves of our need to grow. If you're following along in your Bible, flip open to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:8 simply says, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Okay, and verse 11 begins to tell us what those gifts are. It says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are compelled by the Word of God to grow up, okay, and to mature in Christ. It says we do these things, and pastors, teachers, all these people are doing these things for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints. And it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, until we all come unto a perfect man. Okay? Well, that word perfect in the King James is the same word that's used elsewhere in the Bible for mature. Okay? It is talking about coming unto maturity. Most other translations actually say it something like, we're doing this until we reach maturity. Okay? Until we mature. Okay? The scripture's talking about growing up to be an adult or a mature person spiritually. Okay? And it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. I don't know if we've read that scripture yet, but we're going to. God doesn't want your walk with Him to be like a loop-de-loop roller coaster ride where sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down, you're spinning around so much that you don't know what's up or what's down, or you don't know what's right or what's wrong. Okay? God doesn't want you spinning like that. He gives you an understanding until you come unto the maturity, unto a perfect man or woman in Christ. Okay? He doesn't want you to be gullible. Okay? He doesn't want you to believe everything that comes your way. Okay? Because there's lots of false teachers. Read your Bible, man. The New Testament warns over and over again about false teachers. Their God is their belly. They're deceivers and lying and deceiving and doing all these things. God wants you to know and to grow up spiritually by not grabbing on and following after all these false doctrines, but sticking and adhering to the truth of God. Okay? God doesn't want you to believe everything like, you know, we talk about in Christianity sometimes how great it is to be like a child. Okay? But a small child will believe just about anything. If you tell a little toddler that, you know what, there's mice under the hood of my car that make it go down the road like that, they will believe that. Right? But it'd be pretty ridiculous for an adult to remain to believe that, to continue to believe that. Right? We grow up. We understand. We begin to understand a little bit more. And not everybody understands all the functions of a motor and transmission and all those parts that make your wheels go. Okay? But we understand it's not mice. Okay, so we've at least grown that much, right? And so we understand that, you know, it's not mice or rats or something under there. There's a functional piece of steel and some gas you got to put in there. Okay, we begin to learn these things as we grow and mature. God wants you to grow up and to mature spiritually. 1 Peter chapter 2. Says that as newborn babes, it's not 1 Peter 2:2, is it? Yeah, it is. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Okay, he's telling you to eat. There's something here that we need to see that we're supposed to grow. 2 Peter 3:18. He ends his writing with this, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be both glory now and forever. Amen. My question for you, I guess this morning, I know I'm going to keep this kind of short today. It's kind of an introduction. But who in here would say, you know what? I desire to grow spiritually. I really do want to mature. Anybody? Okay. So if you desire to grow, add to it the need to grow. Okay, God intended for you to grow. It's part of your calling as a Christian believer. You need to grow. You don't want to stay where you're at. Okay, and I know we've all come long ways, man, miles and miles in our Christian life and faith. But we're not there yet. Okay, we're growing unto the stature of and the fullness of Christ that we're becoming more and more like Him. Okay, I'm going to end this morning and we'll pray because I want to pray for you to understand that need. I'll give you just a little taste of what we're going to start doing in the next couple weeks. I'm going to talk about distinguishing between your emotional maturity and your spiritual maturity because you cannot separate your emotional maturity from your spiritual maturity. They go hand in hand. Okay, and you're going to be able to see that. Okay, you will not be able to mature spiritually if you remain emotionally immature. Okay? And I'm going to use myself as a good example of that. I want to talk to you about some of the characteristics and things that are signs of being immature or emotionally immature. Okay? Some of these things I'll just tell you so you can kind of be thinking on it, but an emotionally immature Christian hates change. Okay? Don't like change. Okay? When that stuff starts coming, they just back away, they run away, they do something else. Okay? And I'll talk about that. Emotionally immature Christians don't have very many intimate friendships. Okay? Lots of surface level stuff. They may know a lot of people by first name, but intimate friendships tend to be lacking. Emotionally immature Christians seek immediate gratification. If it doesn't happen right away, they move on. Okay, ready to run for the next one. They're not willing to tough it out. I talk so much about running the marathon, not just the sprint. Okay, we want to run the race that's set before us, but we want to run and keep on running that race and not just run and then stop because we think we've arrived or we've achieved. Okay, emotionally immature Christians are often highly sensitive and easily offended. Okay, that's when they don't realize that, man, that guy up front, he's got my best interest in mind. Okay, if we start thinking that he's just saying that to be mean or he's, you know, then we're not emotionally mature enough to be able to handle that. Emotionally immature Christians often see the world as black and white. And as such, it means they put God in a box. And if God is outside that box or somebody tries to tell them to go outside that box, they won't do it. Okay, they'll resist against that. And I'll explain that. And then the last one is emotionally immature Christians don't establish and maintain healthy boundaries. Okay, they don't understand how to say no. And sometimes they say yes too much. Okay, where Christians will jump into everything. Everybody needs me, I'm there. I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. Next thing you know, they're burning out. Okay, they can't even handle it. They're sick. They're not taking care of their bodies. They're emotionally unstable. They're not getting rest. All those things begin to happen because they haven't learned the art of maturing as a Christian and growing up and being able to take care of yourself and your temple and the body. Okay, so those are just a few of the things. This is just that'll be the next chapter, okay, sort of thing. And there's about four or five more messages after that. So hopefully we can get into that. But Father God, let's start with prayer. Father, we lift this up to you, Lord. I know that, Father, in the next few weeks, you're going to transform some lives. I really see it, Lord, and I'm thankful, grateful that you're doing something special, that you're working in us and working through us, Lord, that as we grow and mature as believers, that we will be able to leave each week different than when we came in. We know that you're doing something in our life, Lord, and we're going to step back and just say, God, you can have your way. You can do what you want to do, and I'm going to go that way with you. Lord, I know you've got our best interests in mind. I know that you're showing us things in your word and about you and your character, and you're revealing things to each one of us that we can press aside, get it out of the way, that we can then press forward and take that next step with you, Father. We trust you, we're praising you, and we thank you, Lord. Just encourage us this week as we go, Lord, to love one another, to be loved on by you, and to express that towards each other. And Father, to let those true fruits of the Spirit begin to manifest in and through our life, Lord, that we take note of those moments when we realize that, you know what, we're kind of going through all the good motions, but here's a moment, here's one of those things that I may need to allow you to deal with, Father. That, Father, you'll reveal those to us and encourage us during that time, not to get down, but to keep pressing up, keep looking up. Our redemption comes from you, Lord. We're thanking you for doing what you've done and leading us along the way in this life that we live. Lord, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. So be it.